I'm older than dirt. I'm 64. And I think sometimes people in this generation that I'm a part of feel like our involvement is to tell people what we think, like give people, and I just disagree. I think it's to help people and get out of the way. And sometimes helping people is getting out of the way.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Relationship Business Podcast. I'm your humble host, Kenny Morgan, and I'm so grateful that you have chosen to spend your time with us today. This is a family, and there are three things you should never forget. One, there is no greater friend than Jesus. Two, that your life matters. Three, that you are loved. I've had the opportunity to fellowship with some truly amazing people throughout my life, and today is another one of those special moments for me. I'm honored to welcome our guest, Bob Goff. While many probably know him by his New York Times bestsellers and Undistracted, Everybody Always, Love Does, and Dream Big, it's his radical love for his wife, which he calls Sweet Maria, of 36 years, his three kids, the underprivileged, his nonprofit, but also just his immense love for everyone he meets that makes him truly one of the brightest lights of our generation. And Bob, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you bet. This is a treat. I'm so glad we get a little time together.
I know you're busy. So it's quite an honor for you to be here today. So,
no, this is awesome. I wouldn't miss it.
But so I want, you know, if people know you well, they know that you do come out and lead so well with love, and you're all about relationships. This podcast is called Relationship Business, but I'm not going to share the details, but there is a way to communicate with you. And I found that way. And I'm like, surely Bob didn't put this information out to the public. And I wrestle with the thought of like, do I actually call Bob? And I did. And you answered the phone. And I was kind of shocked. But true to who you are and making yourself available, you answered and you not only made time for me, but you were incredibly kind. I also kind of go to one of my favorite quotes of yours is quit waiting for a plan, just go love everybody. And so I just want to know, like, where does this deep love for people come from, and how have you been able to just manage this time for people and all that you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm just so glad that you did call, and I put my cell phone number in the back of a couple million books for that very reason, that what I want people to do is we can be available to each other. A lot of people that have opinions about each other, and they're talking about each other, but they're not talking to each other. And then, so as a 30-year lawyer of, I think it must be just advocacy, and availability is great advocacy, because you get to, instead of telling everybody what you think about something, I'd rather tell somebody what I'm thinking about something. Mm-hmm. And then you get to actually pick what you talk about. Did you know this, that in the 3.5 years of public ministry Jesus did, he asked 307 questions and he only answered three? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So so you get to decide what questions you'll answer. And I think you don't have to have answers for all the questions that come your way. I think you can have more questions than answers. And so Jesus demonstrated that. So I'm just curious about, how's it working for other people? Like, what's working for you? What's working for the people that you love? And it's actually better advocacy to just take a genuine interest in people. That's you don't need a Bible verse for everything, but Philippians 2:20, it's like, that's what Paul says about a guy named Timothy. He says he's a guy who takes a genuine interest in other people's lives. And so that's just another way. I know they didn't have cell phones, but I bet he would have picked up your call. So there's something kind of interesting and disruptive and wonderful about that. And then sometimes people, particularly, I'm older than dirt. I'm 64. And I think sometimes people in this generation that I'm a part of feel like our involvement is to tell people what we think, like give people, and I just disagree. I think it's to help people and get out of the way. And sometimes helping people is getting out of the way.
Yeah,
I've got more people that I've met because I've just been around the sun a couple more times. And sometimes just introducing your friends to your friends is a great thing to do. And not this bastardized version of friendship called networking. Just be friends. Just be friends. There's nothing on the other side of the equal sign. So I just think if I don't know if it's for the next guy or gal, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But as for me and my family, we're staying available.
I love it. I love it. That's amazing. So I'm sure this there could be a lot of relationships in your life, but outside of Jesus, what would you say is the one relationship that's made such an impact on your life?
Well, they probably fit into two categories. There's the people you pick. You say you sometimes you slip a humble little ring on their finger and something that you'd have to get a microscope out to figure that was a diamond. It's probably like CZ anyway. There's the person you pick to do life with. And then there's all the friends that get dropped in your path. And of all the friends that get dropped in your path, you'll pick a couple. If you grab a handful of sand, like a typical guy's hand would hold 400,000 grains of sand, which is crazy. I've never counted them, but Wikipedia wouldn't lie. If you meet like 12 people a day and you live 90 years, that's what about 400,000 looks like. So if you let that handful of sand go, some will stick and some won't. So if you're carrying on with that analogy, you'll have some friends that stick and others you just meet for a time. It doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean the sand was bad or the person was bad. It's just they didn't stick and others will. So I just want to say, like, if you went through your day thinking you were interviewing people for the job of being your buddy, you'd ask different questions, wouldn't you? I wouldn't say what's your position on and then insert some lame social issue, whatever it is, or an important social issue, whatever it is. What I would do is I would just try to find out more about them and say, hey, is this one that'll stick? And then maybe circumstances work out. They live next door. They share a dorm room. They, you know, insert here, whatever circumstances come your way. But then as to everybody else, that second tier of relationships, that's just everybody. And just diving, taking a deep dive into their life and just being available to them. I just got back from San Quentin last night. They didn't catch me. I teach a class there. And, the guys in a class, some of them are, actually 9/10 of them are in for life, but some of them get out every once in a while. And then we remain friends on the outside, which is really cool. Yeah. And they haven't learned anything from me, but I've learned a ton from them about graciousness and kindness and caring. And so just take a genuine interest in the people around you. And you will unlock some really neat relationships in your life. You'll find a couple that'll stick.
I love the sand analogy too. I guess that's an incredible analogy. So I guess one side question, were you still home for dinner last night?
Yeah, we had supper, but it wasn't till like 9:30. But I usually get back. Southwest Airlines did us in a little bit on the way back. But it's actually kind of good, though. I really look forward to seeing this. There's one guy that actually got out. He'd been in for many, many years and just recently then got out. And he was, just in the house and the police knocked at the door. And they arrest him. They put handcuffs on him. They take him back to San Quentin. And they said, we did a math error.
Oh, my gosh.
You owe us 109 more days. I'm like, oh, dude. Somebody didn't carry the one. So I got to see him. He actually just got out again. It was so fun to see him and celebrate again his release.
He got two chances at doing it again.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Well, I'm glad he made it out. So I read this article about you and your wife, which again you call her Sweet Maria. I love that. You guys talk about that in a lot of ways. You guys are polar opposites. So Sweet Maria is more stable, or she says she's more stable, predictable. And you said that you're almost should be a sponsor for Red Bull because you kind of live a little crazy. And I could see that. And so And I have heard about the three kids, the adventures you did with each one of them when they were 10, and there's some crazy stories there. But one thing that really kind of resonated with my heart, and you've already kind of talked about that today, but that differences are good. And I look at just this world that we live in, and there's a lot of like canceling and just a lot of relationships where people are just butting heads. And you mentioned something earlier. It's like when you become friends with people, the best way of doing that is not asking what's their opinion on the latest like social topics. So I would just love to hear, how what you've learned in marriage and how differences have actually helped both of you to grow individually and together as one, but also how this world could kind of take a lesson from that as well.
Yeah, so everybody will have some things that are kind of top of the list important to them. So for some people, it'll be again a social issue of the day has a lot of importance to them because they see a wrong that's happening and that we could right that wrong. And I'm grateful for people to do that. Other people get distracted by these things because it is the number one thing for them. They don't mean to be arrogant or presumptuous, but it can come across to everybody but them as arrogant and presumptuous. Is it that my number one thing needs to be your number one thing? So it doesn't happen very often because I'm kind of the balloon guy. I don't engage. I'm not trying to be right anymore. I'm aiming for Jesus. I just said they killed him. So what I want to do is to say, if somebody's really animated about a topic and they want that to be the thing I'm animated about, oftentimes I'll just ask them, like, so my number one thing right now is Yemen. So just say, how many kids have died, since the war escalated there? And they won't know, nor would I expect them to know. But I do know it's 10,228 at the time that that count was made. So just that doesn't make them smaller, lesser version, anything. It's my number one. It's not their number one. And so their number one might be my number 50. And yet there's this thing that happens within us. It's probably really a primitive kind of thing. It's very tribal that we want people to, are you with us or against us? As they're sorting out, are you safe or are you dangerous? From three caves over, I'm gonna let you come over and visit with me in my cave if you're among the tribe of safe people or carnivores or whatever. I just want to not vet people in that way. One of the scriptures that's been super helpful, John 17, where Jesus, you get to eavesdrop him on him talking to his dad, and he said, my prayer is that we, like 7.8 billion of us, would be one. But sometimes we confuse oneness with sameness. And so oneness doesn't mean oneness. Marie and I are a great example of that. We're not the same at all. Very, very different. Yet we can be one. And so what we do is we want our hearts to be the same way for different things, right? So the passion and compassion, think like characteristics, not the topic of the day. Like the character that we bring would be empathetic, it would be kind, it would be understanding. We would take time to hear somebody else actually be more interested in what they have to say on the top. You pick it, gay, straight, Buddhist, Baptist, like whatever it is, like let everybody know that they're welcome. And that's been a really good way to go. It kind of takes some of the pressure off. And even when somebody's flat wrong about something, particularly, I'm like a Bible verse guy, but I don't put any Bible verses in any of my books. Because if you want a Bible verse, read the Bible. It's full of them. I do it because I'm writing for the guy at the tire store. He is what I would call church adjacent. Like, so he isn't part of the church. He's not mad at the church. It's completely irrelevant to him. It's just a red brick building with a big steeple on it. And he's identified accurately that a lot of the people that go to that church are weird. I'm one of them. I'm weird. Like, and you're one of them. And the crazy thing is that the people that are oftentimes really difficult, they're one of them. So what I want to do is that idea of being known for our opinions, but remembered for a lot, right? So I wasn't thinking about what I'd be remembered for when I was 20, but at 64, I'm like looking at the runway. You get 4,000 weeks, 28,383 days, give or take. And depending on how many Pop-Tarts you eat. And so I like elevating the conversation to say, what are you going to be remembered for? And yeah. I'd rather be remembered for the guy who is really accepting and kind of, it isn't like I don't have opinions. I'm a trial lawyer. I got an opinion about everything. I got opinions about opinions, but I keep it in my thought bubble. Yeah. The little bubble in the cartoon, all that stuff. It doesn't leak out. I just leave it in there. And when there's something that strikes me as a different angle on something, I go back to the scriptures. I don't go get in the grill of that person.
Yeah. That's so good. I actually, it was back in 2006. I got a chance to go on a rather large music tour that was not faith-based. And I remember the same, just building relationships, just loving on people, not mentioning Jesus, but just being present to break bread with them and whatever place that would kind of unfold. And it really gave way to some of like the sweetest conversations that I've ever had. And so I really value that.
I think that's really true. It was Simon Peter, and it said, like, who do you say I am? In that big moment, you know, and he said, some say you're a teacher and some say you're a prophet, but then he says, I say you're the Christ. And I love the next verse. Jesus says, don't tell anybody, which kind of blows the minds of all of the evangelicals. And what I want to do is understand that by the next verse. And it says, flesh and blood doesn't reveal this to you, but the Spirit of God. So that's mm-hmm. Matthew 16. So if you can understand that it's not going to be us leading people to Jesus, it'll be Jesus leading people to Jesus. Yeah. Kind of takes all the pressure off. You can just be nice or wonky or whatever. But I want to do this with a view towards how we'll be remembered. It's describing the scriptures as the aroma of Christ, but I think of it as like a scratch and sniff. Like when you get scratched, what do you smell like? Because if you smell like controversy and like you're going to erupt all over them and kind of explode, then I would opt for safer people. You might need to air gap a couple people in your life that are like that, just as they're learning. Don't need to think bad things about them. You just need to stop thinking about them at all.
Yeah, no, that's good. I feel like I need a giant scratch and sniff t-shirt.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Another question I'd love to get your thoughts on. So one, there's been this like great resignation. So there's a lot of people that are struggling to hire right now. We do have a lot of like business owners and business leaders that join us on this podcast. But for those that are like genuinely looking to build better relationships with their team or their clients, I think I have a good idea of what your wisdom would be, but what would be your guidance on how to build better relationships with these target groups?
Yeah, I'm thinking about like the great resignation. Is this something that like business owners are hanging their head? I would flip it. I would say resignation. Great. See, and not in a bad way, but to just wishing people well on their next stop on the journey. If we really accept that we're new creations, then maybe the job that you and I have, certainly the job of the people that work with me, it may have fit who they were, but then the very first day of work after they got hired, I hope they're a new creation. Maybe it doesn't fit anymore. And it's a weird way of thinking of stuff because our grandfathers thought about, you know, you get your job at AT&T and you put in your 30 years and you get the watch and a pension and all that. And I think this next generation's wisely that have come along say like, that just doesn't blow my hair back. I'm not looking for that kind of, that security doesn't offer me anything of value. And so knowing as an employer that that is probably what your employees are thinking, this idea of filling it with meaning. I don't hang out with the people that work alongside me. Like we don't go hang out for lunch and dinner and go to the game and all that. I just want to respect you. I wouldn't like throw an office party in the evening or on a weekend. I do it like, Bob, you want to have an office party? Do it during office hours. So you're not like presuming they want to spend their free time with you. So part of that is being respectful and not presumptuous. And so I would say a word to employers is to just be respectful and not presumptuous, but do presume if you're going to that they have changed and they're continuing change. And you, if you're up for it, if you're not too frightened about the answer you might get, it just try to keep current with their changes. To just say, hey, I know there's a bunch changing. What if you take a little time and think, what do you want to do like next week, next year? We can't change it every day. It would be too confusing if we said through the sock drawer on the floor every day. Every year during review time seems a little bit long, you know, to be matching up the like tennis socks with the Argyles. But to just check in periodically to say, hey, here's where we're at. And this is where I'm headed. Like first with some self-disclosure to say, I just want to spend more time with my grandkids. That's my goal. Yeah. I'm trying to go down and to the left. I'm trying to be less like from the economics of it. I just want to do less. I've stopped speaking at big events. I think big events are terrific. And I think there's a lot of terrific people to speak at them. I'm just not one of them. I want to do like smaller gatherings, like think circles, not rows. So I got a camp, a retreat center in Southern California. We just meet there. And if people want to meet at Disneyland, I'll meet them there, or like, so small gatherings, if we could circle up, then I'm in. And again, not the bad one. Amy's Five talks about like, you know, I don't like your big gatherings and your loud music. I don't know if that's how God feels. Maybe it was just one bad party somebody had. But I just want to know, as you've evolved, bring people along and say, okay, so this is newest version of Bob. And then take an interest in them. Say, tell me about the newest version of you. Like, what are you aiming for? And how can I help you get there?
That's really good. And that's I think is a really good segue to the next question. We have two more actually, but I love your material so much, because I've just I think God gives us all different gifts, but I just always had just such an immense love for people. Like, that's just been my heart, is just building relationships and hearing what people are interested in, and just making time for people. But sometimes I feel that I could just do that all day long. Like, I could wake up, build a relationship, and then get to like 9 o'clock at night, and then have invested in things that really matter, but not really gotten everything else done. So I know that you are an author. You're not no longer a speaker, but you are a husband, a dad, a grandfather. You're involved in a nonprofit and then this retreat center. So how have you, it sounds like you've already taken steps, but how have you been able to still be present for relationship and authentic in that approach, but also make time for other things that God's led you to be a part of?
Yeah, think of it this way. The image that comes to mind is, it's Christmas Eve and you're an air traffic controller at O'Hare. And it's really busy and really snowy, and there's a lot of planes coming in, and you can't land all the planes at the same time on the same runway. that will not be good for anybody. But you can space them out a little bit and let them say, what are the ones that need, whether it's a relationship, staying with the analogy that's low on fuel, somebody's got a crisis, that we're landing that plane first. And you kind of clear the decks, you get the emergency equipment out, and you just do that. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. But if we're always in emergency mode, there's a lot of planes circling the field. So you might have to build another runway. Right. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, I need two runways to land all these planes. Still got to space them out. And so there's, you know, there's some great examples in the scriptures about how like Moses broke down, you know, to smaller groups and said, okay, so you are in charge of this, and you're in charge of these people, and you're in charge of these. So I would just say, all the business principles that are so familiar to people, with that kind of, if faith guides your steps, with that overview that I want to be emotionally, relationally available to everybody, but I can't be emotionally, relationally available to everybody right now on the same runway at the same time. And we're having all these big droughts here in California. They're finding the craziest things at the bottom of the dam, sometimes like pretty like crazy gross stuff too. When the water in the dam, if you think of that, it's either going to go up and over the top, or it's going to go out a hole in the bottom, right? Everybody downstream just knows that the stream's full, the fish are swimming, that everything. So think of everybody in your life as downstream. And they just know the stream is full, the fish are swimming, just looks like another day for them. And so what you and I need to do is to say, is this coming out the bottom or over the top? Mm-hmm. And so what I want to do is continue to fill myself, find encouraging people, find podcasts like yours, find other things that are filling you up. So the water's going over the top. And when you take a hit, when life gets complicated, it's not always over the top, and that's fine. Cause then there's out the bottom. That isn't inauthentic. That's, mm-hmm. but I want us to be mindful that the lake level is lowering. And right now in California, all the lakes are like shutting off the hydro because they just, it's so low that they can't even go out the bottom anymore. I just don't want to get to that. That would, keeping with the analogy, it would be kind of emotional, relational shutdown where you just tapped out. Somebody's just spread too thin and doesn't work. And I think providing a little bit of consistency for your relationship, so it's not like all over the map, this big sine wave. I'm like, I'm here. I'm so excited. I'm so bummed. I'm so excited. I'm so bummed. That can wear people out. So just kind of modulate it. Just keep track of yourself. Think of that. The first question that God asked Adam and Eve right after it got wonky was, where are you? I don't think he was thinking like third fig leaf from the left. I think he was saying like, so where are we? Like using this idea, what's the water level? Are we over the top or at the bottom? Yeah. If we're at the bottom for a while, that's fine. But let's figure out a way to fill it up. You need to build another runway. You need to space people out. Sit down with a couple of people that are trusted friends and just say, I'm not speaking at any more large events. I'm not against them. I'm like, mazel tov. Like, I think that's great. I'll send a bunch of crumble cookies, like kind of gateway drug to diabetes.
It's so true.
Yeah. But I will also at the same time, know I can't land all those planes right now. Just don't have the ability.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. And that's what I need to hear too. So cause I think, You do. It's like when you have a love for people, your heart is to do all the things. And if you're not careful, you could get to the California levels where there's just nothing left. So I think you just walked us through just a great way of looking at, like, sometimes you're over the top and sometimes you're at the bottom. I think that's both can be good seasons of life. So
yeah. And then just know where you're at and why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. I'm looking at a flag right across the room from me. It's not really a flag. It's from Disneyland. And Disneyland has their flags all up and down Main Street, and they flap like flags and they're sitting. But flags have all kinds of protocols. You know, they need to be at half staff and then lit up at night or taken down. Or, like, there's a lot of protocol around those. And Disneyland doesn't do any of those. I'm like, wait, what? Like, that's crazy. Like, I thought Disneyland's like the good guys. They pay attention to that. Here's the deal. Their flags only have 45 stars. They're not 50 stars. They're 45. Now it looks like a flag, waves like a flag, but it's a pennant because it's not, doesn't have 50 stars. Is that brilliant? That's a workaround. So what you do is it's not practical to go up and lower 50 flags on Main Street every day. So they made pennants. They look like flags. Where what happens that is the bad part for us is if we're a lot less than authentic. So we put this fake version of us and we make people salute it like it's the real version. Yeah. And if we just get real to say, I need a workaround for this thing in my life, between a rub between family life and work life, or balance between faith and questions that you have. And questions that you have are examples of faith. Like, that's not like the opposite of faith. That's the existence of faith, that you have these questions. So I, like, instead of faking it, that didn't go that great with Ananias and Sapphira. But to just say, let me just be authentic to say, for right now, I'm feeling this. I don't know if I'll continue to feel that, but just let the people, a safe group of people, know how you're really doing. And then that'll be like a really good thing instead of just having it flap like a flag, look like a flag.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, my last question, I'm assuming that you've got a lot of exciting things on the horizon, but I just like to hear from Bob's perspective, what's something new that's in your future that you're really excited about?
Oh man, it's just like, it's a target-rich environment. I just put one of these books that I wrote into Korean and sending it today to Kim Jong-un.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, totally. So it's just, I don't want to watch stuff on the television. I just had a quick little note saying, let's meet.
Yeah,
now,
well, maybe.
I don't think it'll happen, and you won't hear about it. Nobody else will if it does, because the idea isn't to make a headline; it's to make a difference. The things that light me up are people that are I have the privilege to work with, a small group of friends that are trying to do life. Some people have, like, you know, things have just turned into a dumpster fire for some of my friends that have a little bit higher public recognition. But to just be a safe friend, be Switzerland to them, and to be aware for myself. How can I fill up what I need to fill up? And what are some strategies to get there? So that's kind of current events for me. But there's all kinds of, like, activities. We're starting a school in Cana in Galilee. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
For Palestinian kids. We've got a school in Afghanistan. We've got a couple hundred little girls in there that the Taliban's allowing us to continue to keep open. So I think maybe 13 different civil war countries got stuff going on. So wow. Always planning trips to the next one, and to just encourage them, pop in, see these courageous teachers and people committed to their country. We're going to enroll. We've got kindergarten through the end of high school in Uganda. And we're thinking, what if we just, instead of sending people to university, what if we made a university? So that conversation's happening later today with somebody in Uganda. So anyway, just mischief. But you know, the crazy thing that will matter more to Jesus is not what you're doing across the ocean, but what you're doing across the street. Like, so if you can be kind, so if a person listening, just go find one of your neighbors and just say, like, that was what he said was the big, big, big commandment right there. Make them a pie. If they don't want it, I do.
That's true. Or crumble cookies, right?
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, if you meet Kim Jong-un, maybe tell him I said hi, and maybe you'll go there with Dennis Rodman too. Who knows?
Yeah, no kidding. I said one, put love does into Russian when the crazy stuff unfolded with Ukraine. And I sent that off to Moscow. I haven't heard back. I think he's busy. Looks like, from all the indicators, he's about to get a lot busier and a lot sadder about his decisions, which I'm hopeful for. So I think we can be socially aware, globally involved, but locally focused, to just say, and I'm the guy that it's easy to start something overseas. What I want to do is make it happen right here. And so Galatians 5:6, the only thing that matters is your faith expressed in love. And then Jesus' words to a lawyer who's trying to set him up like me, he said, love God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor. So when I wed those together, just, like, do stuff in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, speaking of love, I love you. I love what you stand for. Keep shining your light. And just want to say thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you. It's so great to be part of this worldwide family of friends. So appreciate you and the good words you're getting out there. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. And then to all our family that's listening in, just know that you are also loved, and hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.